Several weeks ago, I had the privilege of talking and teaching the young adult class, college-age students who are almost, but not yet launched, as well as the young professionals who are in their first career out of graduate school. The topic of our discussion was identity formation. We had a wonderful discussion. It made me think of Eric Erickson's role confusion versus identity formation and the challenge of that developmental life cycle that we all go through as adults. One of the exercises that I asked the people in the class was, who is your hero? I was curious about asking them who their hero is, because in the identification of their hero, they were able to get clarity about their values. The responses ranged from obviously a mom or a dad. One was a grandfather who was the caregiver for the grandmother all of this student's life. A professor was another hero. One that intrigued me was a child. Actually, a child from Haiti, a 12-year-old young girl who was the matriarch of sorts in her family there in Haiti. That was her hero. Well, today's our text is about identity. I'd be curious with you today, who is your hero? And what is it about your hero that you notice in their life in terms of how they deal with the realities of life and how their faith might be incorporated into their life experience? I want to read to you a text that's very familiar to us, a text from Matthew's gospel. But before I read the text, I want to remind you that these words were given to ordinary people. Several were fishermen. I can envision their calloused hands and their sunburned skin. One was a tax collector. Judas was likely an entrepreneur, a businessman. That's speculation, but it's a pretty good idea. But the point that I'm making is that the words that Jesus gave to his students, his disciples, is to a crowd in Galilee, really no different than you or I. So hear the word of the Lord this morning, would you? Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and gives light to everyone in the house." In the same way, Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I'm intrigued to be reminded that all the synoptic gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all of them talked about salt and light. But each one had his own lens through which he recorded the encounter with Jesus. Mark adds to his perspective, "Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." So the component that Mark added to the gospel account was about collaboration and how we get along with each other, how we get along within our families, how we get along within our community. Luke added, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." I'm sure you've heard many sermons on the medicinal, domestic, preservative components of salt. I was reading this past week an interesting perspective, and what this one writer said that he thought, or she thought, I don't remember exactly who it was, it's in the Dictionary of New Testament Theology. They said that it was a better translation of this text to say, "You are salt for the soil." and you are light for the world. A different preposition. We are more familiar with of the world and of the soil. I'm also reminded of Paul's writings in Colossians about salt and grace, the mixture of salt and grace. Paul said, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt," is what Paul says, "so that you may know how to answer to everyone." Here's the intriguing thing about salt to me. Salt always invites thirst, and it ignites the yearning for more. Barclay said that Jesus was given the disciples, the students, probably the greatest compliment that he could give to anyone when he said these words. And Jesus was saying to the disciples what he himself witnessed and lived out when Jesus says, "As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." The question that I want to ponder with you this morning is, what does it mean for you in your sphere of influence to be salt and light? Think about your homeowners association. Think about your chemistry or calculus classroom. Think about the boardroom of the corporation. Think about your home. What does it mean to be salt and light? Well, here's my thought. Part of it has to do with taking on the mind of Christ. Paul says your attitude should be the same. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ. The context of that passage is about servanthood and humility. So when we take on the mind of Christ, how we think, how we feel, how we respond to others grows out of that experience and that process. The mind of Christ. Christ's mission was servanthood and humility. It also involves what I think of as the mystery of God. Harper Bible Dictionary said the mystery invites awe and wonder, and it stimulates imagination and investigation. And it's by grace alone. Sola gratia is the Latin from the Reformation. You remember those words from Luther? Sola gratia, by grace alone. And I love the passage that we've talked about many times from this pulpit, from Hebrews chapter 12, where Paul says, "See to it that no one misses out on God's grace." So friends, this morning earlier, Miss Jessica talked with the children about being the body of Christ. She's talking about you and about me. We're thinking of the body of Christ in the context of salt and light. We're thinking about how the reality is that life gives light to others, not to call attention to itself, but to help us see others. So today, the word for all of us today is not only are we the body of Christ, but we have been given the greatest compliment that Jesus could ever give to anyone when he said, "You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world." It's my prayer this morning for each one of us who are gathered in this house of worship today that we would live out in the fullness of the breadth and depth of salt and light. Will you join me as we pray together? Spirit of the living God, we thank you for your presence with us this day. And I'm thankful this morning, oh God, for the uniqueness of each person who has come to this house of worship. Their experiences within their own family, their experiences within their own faith. And thank you that we can join our forces together as the body of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this reminder, oh Lord. Thank you for the compliment that you've given to us. Speak, Lord, for we listen and we're grateful by your grace and your grace alone. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen.